This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. The day is finally here, at least for House Republicans. Their promise to repeal and replace Obamacare, it's fair to say, is on life support. You know, it's that moment when you hover over a collapsed patient and yell to whoever will listen, "Is there a doctor in the house?" You might be looking for the healing hands of Dr. Tom Price over at HHS or even Dr. Ben Carson. What House Republicans have is Dr. Donald Trump.
The fact is, you were given many lies. Go with our plan. It's going to be terrific. You're going to be very, very happy. Call your local representative. Call your senator. Let them know that you're behind our plan.
House Republicans are not so sure that this urgent cure is terrific, as the president says. All week long, the American Health Care Act has been struggling for GOP votes. And Americans don't seem to want to swallow this pill either. A new poll by Quinnipiac University put support for the American Health Care Act at just 17%. House Speaker Paul Ryan has been busy, though, negotiating with Republicans when he can and waiting for news on deals that some of his members are cutting with the president directly. So we want to look at this moment for Republicans now, elected promising to repeal Obamacare, electing a president promising that everyone will have great health care for less money, and staring down the barrel of an agenda that could suffer if they can't get this done. Reed Galen is a political consultant and Republican strategist. He worked on both the 2000 and 2004 Bush-Cheney campaigns. He also worked for John McCain's campaign. Welcome to The Takeaway, Reed.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Also with me here in studio, Jeffrey Young. He's a senior reporter and longtime healthcare watcher with the Huffington Post. Jeff, welcome.
Hello, Todd.
Great to have you. Reed, let me start with you. What do you see going on here in this Republican moment? A new president elected, two congressional majorities, repeal of Obamacare on the tip of their tongue for years. What's happening now from the eyes of a GOP strategist?
Well, I think what you're seeing is that health care, regardless of party, is always going to be very difficult. Next, I think that for Republicans, they are now a party divided in so many ways. They're sort of unmoored from their, you know, the past ideological bases that made up the traditional GOP. And so what you have is a Freedom Caucus who is pretty much anti-everything, who does not like this. They want a full repeal. And then you have Republican moderates who have to go home and deal with angry town hall meetings where, you know, the constituents want to know why 24 million people are going to lose their health care over the next decade. So I think what you're seeing is a Republican Party in turmoil and with a leader who was only a Republican in name only, truly, who has provided, you know, start and stop support for this and now has resorted to threats of individual members, which I don't think is helpful either.
Okay, Jeff Young, a Republican Party in turmoil now, grabbing onto an issue that's never been easy for any party. But if you look at the history of health care and Republicans, it's always been especially difficult for them. They've never had an easy time with this issue, and now it's really a mess.
Yeah, I think it might be helpful to start out contrasting it with the other party, and that is, you know, it took over a year to get the Affordable Care Act passed in the first place. But what Democrats had that Republicans don't is kind of an overall sense of ideologically, philosophically of what they were trying to achieve. You know, the Democratic Party, American liberals, think more people should have health coverage and that people who can't afford it should get help paying for it. You know, the mechanism to get there was obviously flexible. A lot of Democrats favored single payer and they ended up with something where it's private insurance companies with some federal money and regulations around it. There has never, in my observation, been a kind of core defining conservative principle of what the healthcare system in America should be. You know, I mean, Republicans opposed Medicare and Medicaid when they came around, but now they defend Medicare and a lot of them defend Medicaid as well because they already exist. You know, and what we've seen, and you know, Todd, you and I covered Congress every day for a long time. Because there's no core defining principle and because there are other priorities that are more important to Republican lawmakers and to conservative voters, this has never been an issue that they have pushed forcefully themselves. So now they're in a position where because they don't like the Affordable Care Act and have portrayed it as, frankly, much worse than it actually is, they can't do nothing but they don't really know what they want to do instead.
And I think we're seeing that play out. In other words.
Right.
So, Reed Galen, that's an important issue, what they're for. It seems like Republicans now are looking at a bill. We've seen the CBO scores, 24 million estimated could lose coverage. Many of them, though, if we talk about the politics here, many of those people, working class whites, Trump voters, what kinds of calculations are going on in the heads of lawmakers right now as they look at this bill, what the impact might be and what it might mean for them back home?
I think that what we should remember is that I don't know if you ever remember the movie The Candidate with Robert Redford.
Sure.
When at the end of the movie he wins and he looks at his campaign manager, Peter Boyle, and he says, well, what do we do now? And I think the Republicans in Congress had that moment when Donald Trump actually won the presidency. Everyone assumed, me included, that Hillary Clinton was going to be president and it was going to be status quo, you know, on Obamacare and many other things. So, you know, they had 7 years of repeal votes, 50-some votes in the House or whatever it was. Suddenly they find themselves with both the White House and the Congress and no plan what to speak of. You know, I assume that, you know, President Obama worked for years or thought about this for years or had healthcare policy experts working on these things for years. The Republicans, I think, to your point, Jeff, did not have that, did not have anything laying on the shelf. And so now I think what we're in is a place where how do we get out of this, you know, with the least damage possible? If it's a win, we'll take any win we can get. If it's going to be a loss, we're not going to put it to a vote.
Okay, that's interesting what Reed says there, Jeff. But what is a win here? I cited at the top this new Q poll, Quinnipiac University poll. 17% of Americans say they back this effort. Only 40% of Republicans say they're for it. Republicans are now in a position where they have to repeal Obamacare because it's the only reason to be a Republican for the last 7 years. But it seems like success is not really success, at least if you ask voters.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sort of almost impossible position, although my sympathy is limited because this is something the party is – a position the party has put itself in. You know, I mean, I know this will never happen, but there is an alternative here that no one's talking about. You know, the president is saying, well, you either pass this bill or we leave the Affordable Care Act in place as is. The third option is to fix what's not working about the Affordable Care Act and the American healthcare system in a way that makes it better for people. But this bill doesn't really attempt to do that in a very meaningful or broad way because it's being assembled and reassembled and disassembled just to get votes. Now, that's how legislation passes. But if you look at the machinations that have been going on the last few days, it's all about vote counting and not about how do we make insurance better for people? How do we make healthcare more affordable? It just doesn't really get at that.
So, Jeff, you talked a little bit about the history of Republicans with healthcare that they've never articulated what they're for. They've managed to articulate over the last 7 years and years before that what they're against. They've had a couple little things about what they're for. Is there something particularly hard about this Republicanism right now after the elections of having Donald Trump lead a party full of Paul Ryan conservatives and then trying to bake a healthcare cake? Is there something harder about this moment?
Well, I mean, for starters, you know, during the campaign, the president said a lot of things during the campaign, but when it came down to healthcare, you know, he tried to make it simple. We're going to cover everybody. It's going to be better and cheaper. You're going to love it. Your deductibles under Obamacare are too high. Well, we're going to bring them down. This bill doesn't do any of those things, right? So first of all, you've got those promises hanging out there. And then second, you know, I mean, the divide in the House Republican conference right now, I feel like there's three camps. There's the speaker and most of them who are just willing to vote for this bill because they want to get it out of the way or because they want to ding Obamacare or whatever. Then you've got the so-called moderates, people who I think, to put it simply, are worried about getting hit with flack from kicking 24 million people off their health insurance. And then there's the Freedom Caucus, the conservatives, right, who don't think this bill takes insurance away from enough people quickly enough. I don't know how you bridge all of that. It just sort of seems incompatible.
To get to 216.
Yeah.
And then Reed Galen, the inevitable consequence of this, even if and when this bill passes, is the Senate. Then the Senate seems to have no interest in this bill as is. And it makes me want to ask you to step back a little bit. The rest of the Republican agenda, healthcare is the first thing, but it's not the only thing. What happens to Republicans' ability to pass other things that they want if this fails? Things like tax reform and more tax cuts, an infrastructure plan that the president wants. They have to fund the government, raise the debt limit. What happens to Republicans' ability to govern if they can't do this?
Well, I think it probably becomes a lot like what we saw with the end of President Obama's administration, which is, you know, things get done on an as-needed, on a by-crisis basis, rather than, you know, some regular legislative process that we might have expected with a president and a Congress of the same party. I think that, you know, if the idea is that, you know, this health care plan, which would have, you know, a disproportionate poor effect on lower income Americans, indigent Americans, those already without insurance, is unpopular, then the idea that Republican tax reform, which is likely to be a boon to corporations and, frankly, likely wealthy individuals as well, is not going to be that much more popular. So what I think you're going to see are absolute essential pieces of legislation move through, and then, you know, maybe bite-sized pieces of little things that both the Republican Congress and President Trump can take into 2018. Otherwise, they very well could get to November of next year without anything to show for it.
And Reid, how much harder? We talked about the unpopularity of this bill, 17%. If you're a member of Congress and you look at the president's numbers, around 37% approval right now, what does that say to you about whether or not you want to vote for this?
I think it says, you know, it's every member for themselves. You know, we should expect, as you all probably know, having covered the Hill, that in a president's first term, they are likely to lose seats. I think the question is, how many seats are they going to lose? I don't think they can lose the majority, but I think at this point, each member is taking stock of what they need to do for their constituents. If it means keeping that promise and voting something that takes out Obamacare, maybe they vote for it. If it means that, you know, you didn't go far enough with a full repeal, then you're not going to vote for it, because the Freedom Caucus, if anything, believes in their own purity. So I think that right now the caucus and the party generally, again, is of many minds. I think, as Jeff said, you know, Democrats have the advantage, especially on health care, of always having been of one mind. Republicans are of many minds, none of which agree with each other.
Jeff, we have just a few seconds left, but I do want to point out, and I think you should too, as fraught and as difficult as all of this is, this is step one. This goes to the Senate.
Yeah, yeah. And I it's hard to see a path through there right now.
And I mean, senators have shown no interest in this. This has to come back to Paul Ryan. He's going to have to sit down to this meal again.
Yeah. I mean, Mitch McConnell has said if it gets through the House, he's putting it on the floor in the Senate next week. We'll
and that,
see.
And whether or not it can pass.
Yeah. Or if he even does that.
And whether or not Republicans in the Senate will go for it. This is the state of Republicanism. This is the state of health care. Reid Galen, political consultant and Republican strategist. Thanks, Reid.
Thank you.
Also, Jeff Young, senior reporter for The Huffington Post. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Marvin, what do we do now?
Wait a minute. What?
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science. Neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.